It's when we initiate thoughts and start imagining. This is what got David. Wow, what if she was up here? What we could do? You know, he started imagining things and nurturing those thoughts. That's when lust takes hold. Let's look at some scriptures here. Can you turn to Lamentations? It's right after Jeremiah. Which somebody said was a bullfrog. Jeremiah, then Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. Mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. Come on now. When we see that person and recognize them as attractive, it can affect our heart. That's what we got to be. That's the creeping thing trying to creep in. Does that make sense? I hope you're relating to what I'm talking about. Let's go to the book of Job. You might want to just jot these scriptures down in your note area there. It's just for future reference. That first one was Lamentations 3:51. In the book of Job, chapter 31. Job 31 and verse 1. 31:1. You got it? I made a covenant with mine eyes. When then should I think upon a maid? Why then should I think upon a maid? That's different from noticing, Brother Sanders. Why should I think? My eyes, I made a covenant, my eyes. I'm not going to look the second time. Does this seem like good advice? Because you look that second time, then it starts creeping. And it's little, but it don't stay little. And the enemy is very patient. He'll just send another one over here, another there. And after a while, your mind can get racing if you're not careful. And you'll start thinking on a maid. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Amazing, this is in the Bible. Maybe God wanted us to know about it. 23, starting at verse 26. Chapter 23, starting at verse 26. You there? If you're not all there, say, I'm not all there. You're not all there? Verse 26. Gotcha. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. She's lying where? In waiting, as for a prey. There's women out there that will hunt you. We need to run. You know what the Bible says about fornication? Flee. It does not say walk away from it. It says run. Because you can't handle it. Get away from there as fast as you can. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful stuff. How about Ecclesiastes, a couple books to the right, or maybe just a book to the right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Is this all right to talk about this? God wants to preserve us. And because he's skipping and he's leaping and he's loving, he's saying, I want to protect you. Watch out for these things. Can you relate to that? All right, so we're looking at Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands, whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Blessed is a man that escapes. In other words, there's going to be incidences. There's going to be opportunities. You're blessed when you escape. And the sinner is taken by her. Well, that's amazing. Look here. That's something he wants us to know about. Out there, you got to cut that off. Don't go down that road. Don't get lured down that path. Starve that source. Letter D, take in the word of God. Hunger for the word. Ferociously ingest the word of God. Amen to preacher. Eat that word, because the word will strengthen you to give you power to break that yoke. Am I giving you good advice here? It's so very, 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 very important, because it will destroy you. And letter E, get accountability. Amen. Get with somebody that loves you, has your best interests at heart. Partner with them. This isn't just about porno. If there's somebody, whatever. You get somebody so they can say, how you doing with that problem? And be honest. Yes. Be honest. Get a hold of somebody that has integrity and be honest with them. Save yourself. Save yourself. Sanctify yourselves. Didn't that, remember I talked about that? God said to them, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. God is not going to drag you out. It has to be. It was your will that led you in it, and it's got to be your will that leads you out of it. Now, God will strengthen you. He'll help you, but you've got to do your part. It's very important. We did number two. Number two is the temptation to have power and control. We'll just move past that and go to number three. This is a temptation men face, the temptation to love money. Zig Ziglar says, I've been poor and I've been rich. And I like being rich way more than I like being poor. And I do too. I think I would. I'd like to be rich. I've tried to talk God into it a lot of times. I promise I'll behave. I promise. Money can mess people's minds. Reader's Digest came out with an article some time ago about people that won lotteries. And, millions of dollars. And I think almost all of them, if not all of them, at the writing of that article had spent all the money, was gone, and had nothing to show for it. Wrecked their lives. Marriages were broken up. Money has a way of affecting people. If you ever get any, you may experience that. Because there's something in us about money. It speaks to security, and it also speaks to pride. All right, there's a little reading here from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Money is not evil. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in itself is not evil. It's good. All right? But the love of it leads to evil. So if we have that issue, we need to lay aside every weight. It's not evil in itself, but it can become evil by how we feel about it. And the sin which doth so easily, and this is misspelled, beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. And so the love of money, the temptation to love money, is something that can weigh us down and get us off course. Amen. We're talking about materialism here. Wanting things. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting something. But in America, because we are the wealthiest nation in the world, we tend to want stuff. Stuff, more stuff. More stuff, 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 more stuff. And this recession has hopefully helped us to look at that. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Am I still doing okay? Are you all right? Everybody all right? On track here? Do you feel like I'm meeting a need here today? Okay. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 22. This love of money cost this man his soul, it appears. You know, this is the rich young ruler. Show me what I need to do to inherit eternal life. Keep the law. I'd have done that from my youth up. No problem. Got it nailed. In verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. God saw a creeping thing in his life. You know what's bad about a tortoise? One of the creeping things was a tortoise. And I looked up desert tortoises, or this tortoise found desert tortoises, which must have been what was in Israel. It's arid and so on. And I found out that, I mean, what can a tortoise do to you? You know, it can't hardly whip up on you, you know. Sure can't catch up to you. Here's what it can do. What they do is they burrow holes in the ground, and they live there. And oftentimes, poisonous snakes live in there with them. Snake doesn't bother tortoise. Tortoise doesn't bother snake. But you go in there and fool the tortoise, there may be a snake in there. You let a tortoise spirit kind of lumber into your life, may bring some snakes with it. That's a creeping thing. And this creeping thing, this big old fat tortoise just sat down right in the middle of this guy's life. And Jesus zeroed in on it. And he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. In other words, you can't follow me with this tortoise in your life. When we have creeping things, they hinder our ability to follow Jesus. And so in order to follow me, you got to do something about this tortoise. And we know the response, 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, what was he sorry about? I'm sorry? Yeah, he could. He still did. He kept them. What he was sorry for, I think, was that was a requirement. How many times people come into your church and found out about requirements and got unhappy about that? Who do y'all think you are? Don't you know I'm a rich young ruler? Well, yeah, that's the problem. I think he was sorry it was a requirement. Yeah. Now, did Jesus have scripture to tell him to sell all that he had? No. There doesn't have to be scripture for everything God says he wants you to do. There may be some things he wants you to do the other guy doesn't have to do. It all depends on what kind of things are creeping around in your life. I think I'm in the spirit today. Feels like it. Feel like talking in tongues. So he's sorry about that. I need to look that word sorrowful in the Greek, see what I find out there. I think he's angry. All right, enough of that. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Boy, America needs to memorize this verse. By the way, the guy in the green sweatshirt, the guy next to you, you have a fabulous smile. You have a great smile. I imagine people like you come around, you light up a room. If it's not true, don't tell me. All right. Yeah, right. Especially don't tell him. That was good. That was funny. All right. Verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed. Where's our brother with the NIV? Okay, I want to see what the NIV says, okay, in just a second. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Remember, the Bible told us not to covet our neighbor? That was one of the 10 big ones. All right? In other words, getting jealous that Brother X has more stuff than me. There's always going to be somebody that's got more stuff than you. We're not in a contest. He who has the most toys wins at the end of the day. We're not competing with each other. And America is possessed, at least in the lower 48, at least where I live, possessed with keeping up with the Joneses. Whoever they are. Now that's been kind of squelched a little bit with the recession. But notice, a man's life consisteth not. In other words, the value and the secret of a successful life is not how much stuff you got. All right, this is this temptation to love money. All right, brother, NIV. When you're in trouble, when you're hurting, you can't wrap your head around, I'm going to be Alaskan here, your snowmobile and find comfort or a new rifle. You know where you're going to find richness in life? In God and in family. And you can have a wonderful life and be very low in the economic scale. If you've got close relationships with your children and close relationships with your wife and a close relationship with God, and you got one or two really good friends, you are very wealthy. You are very, very wealthy. If you have richness in your home, you are so wealthy. Oh, my. And yeah, I want a new snowmobile. Yeah, I'd like to have a new rifle. I'm afraid I'd shoot myself with it, but because I don't really have much experience there. But I can live without it. I've got my family. I got kids that love me. I got a wife that loves me. There's where it is. And in my relationship with God and my church, I really don't need, I may want, but I really don't need much more than that. I think I'm telling you the truth here. All right, some practical tips to overcome this covetousness. Letter A, generosity is the key to financial success. Be generous. Isn't it amazing that the United States of America is always the first on a disaster scene? We give millions and millions and millions and millions, 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 millions of dollars to help people that hate our guts. America is the most generous country in the world. The rest of them do this. We do this. You can never go wrong by being generous. I think, and I'm going to talk about this in my church here. It's been working on my mind. I'm going to ask people to get a $100 bill. Borrow one if you have to. And just hold on to that $100 bill. And I want you to pray. And I want you to seek God. And I want you to look around the congregation for a few weeks. And see if somebody, if God doesn't put a spotlight on somebody. And give you the beam. Give that $100 bill to that person. Just slip up to them and say, Lord told me to give this to you. When I do that, and I do it kind of often, sometimes I say, here, you give this to so-and-so, and just tell them, somebody gave this to me to give to you. Because I didn't want them to know I did that. I just wanted them to have it. Didn't want any credit for it. Because there's something about generosity that feels a whole lot better than greed. Greed leaves us empty. Generosity leaves us full. Follow the 10-10-80 principle. 10-10-80. It's 10% tithe, 10% offering, 80% for your living. Stretch yourself in your giving. It'll help you break the greed thing. It'll drive a creeping thing out. You know, I hate when I say this, we're going to receive the offering and I hear purses open. Freely you have received. Who said that? I think that was Jesus. Freely give. We have a little tradition in our church. When I say we're going to receive our tithes and offerings now, we clap, most of us. Some of us go into deep mourning and grief. God loves a cheerful giver. He'll take from a skinflint. But he loves a cheerful giver. Happy to do it. How would you like it if one of your kids came up to you and said, it's your birthday, here. That's not very edifying. It didn't make me feel really good. It kind of sounded like you didn't want to really give it to me. I wonder if God feels that way sometimes. Here's my tithe. How about, here's my tithe. Thank you for giving me the privilege to invest in the kingdom of God. So we clap and shout because we want to drive out the creeping things. Understand, letter C, you cannot serve two masters. If you want to write down, did we go to Luke? Yes. You want to write down Proverbs 19:17. If you are, you might want to look that up later. All right, number four. We all together?
Amen.
All right. The temptation, number four, the temptation to chase, C-H-A-S-E, success. Become, really, we're talking about being obsessed with it. Now, I'll confess here today, since basically I don't have any clothes on anymore anyway, for all the stuff I've said about myself. But when I was a young pastor, I got saved when I was 21, and I started my church when I was 23. I didn't know diddly squat about Pentecost before I got saved. I knew the Lord's Prayer was in there somewhere. That was it. 2 years later, I beat a pastor. And I don't know if I was taught. I actually think I was taught. God, church, family. That's very old school, very wrong school. But I bought it. I didn't know nothing. I was wet cement, you know. You could just imprint me any old way you wanted to, and that's how I was. Bless God. I'm the man of God. Kingdom of God. Souls are at stake here. Ain't got time for y'all. My family. Who hurts to think about it. Thank God I had a patient wife that loved God. And points of refuge. One of the problems we're coming up with is pastors and pastors' wives that give themselves to people and the work of God and forget each other. Because somehow they were taught God, church, family. That leaves emptiness and stress. And so I got caught up in, if you will, not stone me, chasing success. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to build a church. Bless God. I had people prophesy about me that I was just a bunch of hot air. I'll collapse. I'll give up. There's no revival in that town. It's a burnover area. And I was just determined. And I knew oneness, and I knew the new birth. I could convince you of either one of those things. I could go to every scripture in and out and convince you absolutely about oneness and about the new birth. And I knew how to shout and talk in tongues. And that's it when I went to that town. And, bro, I preached oneness. And I preached the new birth, and I shouted about it every service. That's all I knew. It didn't take me too long to realize I better learn some more than just that. And so I started to grow of necessity. I'd teach Bible studies, bus routes, knocked on doors, so on and so forth, chasing success. Wore myself out. Stressed my family. I had to pull back. Thank God, my wife said to me, when my son, who is my associate pastor, we call him executive pastor, he's pastoring today. There's a funeral going on. I'm not there. Thank God he's taking care of it. And tomorrow I won't be there. I'll be with Brother Churchill, and he'll be taking care of things. And thank God my son survived his father. My wife said to me when I was about 9, I probably should be telling this in a pastor's class, but I told my wife said to me, Ronnie, we're past that, right? Okay. If you want to have a relationship with your kids, when they grow up, when they're teenagers, you better be working on it right now. Oh, that just jerked me back into reality. And I really tried. I thank God for Linda. I was just kind of drunken on success, if you will. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And we can be driven. Men can be very driven to be successful. They want to get up to the next rung. They want that next promotion. They want that next job or that raise. And they tend to forget more important things. Can anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
Can you understand what I'm talking about? So chasing success can be a real problem. It should be God, my opinion here, family, church. Now we need to be faithful to the house of God. Please don't think I'm giving you a license to bun church. I'm not. But family, so important to God. Did you know in the book of Malachi, God rebuked a guy because of how he was treating his wife? I mean, God was ticked because he wasn't treating his wife right. Malachi, take a look. So anyway, letter A, determine your priorities. Take a look at your priorities. Do you need to stay at the office another hour or two when your family and your wife is expecting you home? Do you have to? There may be times you do. But maybe there are times when you could come home earlier. And do you know, brethren, you're supposed to be ministering to your wives? Love, husbands. Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for it. When I come home, my job is not to be ministered to, oh, Bawana's home. We love you, we love you. That's not what's supposed to be happening. I'm supposed to come home, take off my work hat, and put on my ministry hat and start ministering to my family. Loving my family, affirming my children, giving affection to my wife, loving my family. And then about 10 o'clock, falling into bed. After an exhausting day. Your wife absolutely needs you to pour into her. We have too many starving wives that are starving for the attention of their husbands. It's so easy to take each other for granted. If you have a good wife, or if you have a lousy wife, you can make a lousy wife a better wife by pouring love into her, letting her feel loved. Not just, you hear about the man and wife, been married 30 years, they come to the pastor's office. Pastor says, how can I help it? The wife says, Pastor, he never says he loves me. Never says he loves me. And the pastor looked to the husband. He said, Pastor, I told her 30 years ago when I married her, I loved her. And if I change my mind, I'll let her know. Duh. That's a big duh. You know what? If Jesus loved us like that, we'd be going bonkers. Look how he loved us. He says, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Make her feel like $1 million. She'll make you feel like $1 million. You make her feel like 25 cents. She gonna make you feel like 25 cents. I personally like the $1 million one. And it goes against my nature because I'm a very driven person. I'm a very driven person. And I have to think, pull myself back to minister to my wife. I have to work on that. So some practical tips: determine your priorities. Letter B, keep your heart. Keep your heart in touch with God's heart. Did you get that? Keep your heart in touch with God's heart. I love that little saying right there. Keep your heart. That goes for everything, doesn't it, really? Keep your heart in touch with God's heart. Can I encourage you, as we're winding this up, to, if you're not doing it now, I would encourage you to spend, was it at your church I talked about Connect 15? Okay, not here. Okay, I have a little thing in our church called Connect 15. And what that means is, before you walk out of your house in the morning, you've shaved, brushed your teeth, combed your hair, put on deodorant, got clothes on, you're ready to step out the door, pause. Take 15 minutes, just 15 minutes, and connect with God. The Bible says to put on Christ. It also says to put on the new man. It also says to put on the whole armor of God. Spend minimum 15 minutes praying. Not just, oh God, I'm going on my work today. Help me be successful. In Jesus' name, amen. That's not connecting. That's just talking. Connecting with worship, praise, thank you. Thank you. Please, Lord, I want you to cover me today. Sanctify my mind. Help me to think straight. Keep your hand upon me. If you'll do that for 15 minutes, get in the Spirit, and then walk out the door, you'll have a much better day than you did the day before if you didn't do it. If you'll do that every day, you'll be astounded at what will happen. You'll be keeping your heart in touch with God's heart, and you'll be walking. You get Jesus in the morning, you'll have him all day long. It'll make a big difference. Number five, temptation. The temptation to forget God. Just kind of forget. I don't mean, you know, I can't remember God, but just kind of forget about him. I think Pentecostals suffer a little bit of getting God in church, leaving him in church. See you when I get back Sunday. And forget all about him in between the services. Can anybody relate to that? It's so easy to get into that habit. Whoa. God didn't go anywhere. He's still right there. He wants to talk to you on Monday. He wants to bless you on Tuesday. That's why we ought to connect every day, but there's a temptation men have. Be so busy, we forget God. Would you write this down? This is the most subtle temptation. It's so subtle. It can happen without you really knowing it. Could you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3? I think I'm going to want the NIV for this one too, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. You there? Anybody not there? If you're not there, say, I'm not all there. Proverbs, right? I think they wouldn't fall for the second time. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with most of your heart. No, all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here's how we forget God. We start thinking on our own, trusting on our own understanding, trying to reason it all out. No. Verse 6 says, in how many ways? All thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When is he going to direct your paths? When you acknowledge him in all of your ways. If you forget God, you're not acknowledging him, you're drifting. When you acknowledge him, he clicks in, and guides your ways. The Amplified says in verse 5, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. How many want to walk the pathway of God? All right, Brother NIV. Okay. And so the guarantee of me walking in God's path is me not leaning or depending on my own logic and thinking, but to seek and acknowledge him. Does that make sense? Our scripture is where Jesus says to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, etc. This is a great commandment. The second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Guess which one is easier? Loving God or loving your neighbor? Loving God. He never did me no harm. I got a neighbor over here. I want to blow up his house. Anyway, we can't afford to forget God. The word acknowledge in the Hebrew, if you like to write this, is number one, recognize. When you recognize God in your life. Number two, you get acquainted with. Number three, to be aware. And number four, to be a friend. When you acknowledge God, you're recognizing him. You're getting acquainted with him. You're aware of him. He's your friend. That's why I want everybody in my church spending at least, we call it Connect 15 plus. Because after 15, after a while, you're going to want to go more. It'll grow. So at Connect 15 plus plus. It's a great rule of life. Psalms 37, and maybe somebody could check in there to see if lunch is ready, because we're just about through. If you could sort of let me know. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 5. We're not trying to hurry them. We just want to know how they're doing. They're going to be okay? Okay, thank you very much, brother. All right, Psalms 37. This is a great scripture. I wish we had time to read more of it, but let's just go to verse 5. Let's start at verse 1. Fret not thyself, brethren, because of evildoers. Don't let evildoers get under your skin. Neither thou be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust, everybody say trust. Trust. Circle that word in your Bible. If you have a conviction about that, don't. But trust. You know, some people think it's wrong to write in the Bible. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Circle good. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In about 5 minutes, we're going to be fed. Number four, delight. Would you circle the word delight? Delight thyself also in the Lord. That sounds like Connect 15. Just delight yourself in Jesus for a few minutes. Then go out. And that's a good idea, isn't it? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give us the desires of thine heart. Here's what I don't think that means. Whatever's in your heart, God's going to give it to you. I don't believe it. I think God gives you his desires. All right? He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll get your desires on the right things. Does that make sense? All right. And number five, commit. Circle commit. So we got several words. Excuse me. We got several words here that we've circled. Trust, do good, delight, and commit. I looked up in the Hebrew the word commit. I was shocked what I found out it meant. It comes from a Hebrew word which means to wallow. Like a pig in a pigsty. You know, they're committed to that mud. They are into it. And they just wallow in it. Oh, if I could get everybody in my church just wallowing in the things of God, in the Word of God, and in the presence of God, committed. Wallow. If you do that, you won't forget God. Wallow. Some practical tips. Make a commitment to put God first. Everything you do, put Him first. Letter B, pick a specific time and place for prayer. Nail that down. Make that a priority. Personal prayer. I think I mentioned it. When we're praying by ourselves, it's a father-son relationship. When we're praying in the body, it's a bridegroom-bride relationship. We need both. And letter C, go for consistency. In other words, don't have a three-hour prayer room meeting Monday and don't pray again till Friday. Be damaging, not necessarily the length. Be consistent. That'll help you not forget God. And D, the way of escape. These are our top five, and here's the way of escape. Temptations. How to drive out the creeping things. How to catch the little foxes. Put on the armor of God. You've got to put it on. You've got to think about it. The breastplate of righteousness. Work on being right with God. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Walk in God's peace. Your loins gird about with truth. Learn the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. The helmet of salvation, letting God cover your thinking. The sword. By the way, have you ever heard somebody say, I brought my sword, this is my sword. This isn't your sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. Let God help you use the sword of the Spirit to thrust and slash the enemy. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wind. You've got to put it on. You've got to think about it. In prayer, put it on. Put on the armor of God. Number two, starve the source. Don't feed the tortoise. Don't throw peanuts down there. You know, one of those creeping things was a ferret. There's people all around this world got pets for ferrets. How many know somebody's got a ferret? Yeah? They stink. Have you ever noticed that? Brother Sanders was telling me earlier today, he went to visit a couple. They had three ferrets. And he couldn't hardly breathe in the house. You're going to suffocate with ferrets. They're creeping things. Why did I talk about that? I don't remember. Huh? Starve the source. Don't. These things aren't pets. My little things that I like to think about, play with. Starve them. All right. Pick a specific time and place for prayer. Oh, I'm down. Number two, starve the source. Number three, feed your spirit with the Word of God and prayer. Read the Bible. Are these your sons, Brother Williams? Okay. Are they not with you? Okay. They look like they like you a lot. Okay. But if they were your sons, I would say, read them the Word of God. Share the Word of God with your kids. Feed them. You know what? I get blessed blessing people. I've been so enriched to be here with you. When you bless people, your family, friends, when you bless them, it blesses you. It helps you. And so feed your spirit. Feed your spirit with the Word of God and prayer. Pick out some scriptures. Memorize them. Just kind of get the Word in your heart. And number four, use the buddy system. Now, I'm a scuba diver, and one of the just hard and fast rules of scuba diving is not to dive alone. I've done it, but they tell you not to, because you may need somebody to help you. Remember, Ecclesiastes told us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that two are what? Better than one, because if one fall, the other will pick him up. So on and so forth. So use the buddy system, and to have somebody there to help you and maybe pray with you, and maybe you could. I've got some pastors that I fast and pray with, not physically because they're different places, and I'm now in the process of getting I had a list years ago of about 300 pastors that we would get our churches praying and fasting simultaneously. And praying for each other, having their congregations pray for every other congregation, and me praying for every other congregation, so on and so forth, and my people. I'm rebuilding that list. That was years ago. And so having people, let's pray about this. Let's pray together about this. Because if any two of you or three of you touch anything, your Heavenly Father shall hear your prayer and do it, something like that. And that means to have, you know, community and faith together, which creates more faith. My faith with your faith is not double. It's exponential. It's more than double faith. So get a buddy system. And number five, this is important too, recognize the results. When you see God helping you overcome, when you see God helping you drive out some little things, when you see God moving more intimately in your life, celebrate that. Say yippee. Say yo, cool. And celebrate it and recognize what God is doing in your life. And feel good about it. One more page. Men's accountability, men's ministry accountability questions. If you have a buddy, these are questions you should ask each other. You with me here?
Amen.
All right. Number one, have you spent daily time in scriptures and prayer? Amen. We're going to talk every Wednesday, and here's what we're going to ask each other. Have you spent daily time in scriptures and prayer? Yes. How much? Oh, 12 seconds. This is called coming under accountability. Number two, have you had any flirtatious or lustful attitudes, tempting thoughts, or exposed yourself to any explicit material which would not glorify God? Check up on each other. Get somebody that can agree with you that you'll do it for each other and keep it confidential. Number three, have you spent quality time with your family? Really important. Number four, have you told any half-truths or outright lies? Man, the more I read, the less I want an accountability partner. That's right. One preacher said, it's tight, but it's right. Number five, has the language that you have used this week glorified your Savior? Number six, is there anything God has convicted you about this week that we have not discussed? Amen. Number seven, what temptation have you been struggling with the most this week? Nothing. Number eight, have you lied to me on any of your answers today? That's some shit. Now you got to lie again. Oh, man. You know who's the unhappiest person in this room right now? Your enemy. Right now, if you could see in the spirit, there are creeping things running in every direction. Running as fast as they can. I think we're going to leave here with no, I hope, no creeping things, no little foxes. Now, as soon as they get out there in the woods and calm down, they're going to look back here. Is there any way we snuck in there once? Can we figure out another way to sneak in there? Keep your guard up, right? Keep your guard up and know you got a God that when you pray starts running and leaping. What was the other word there? Skipping. Looking in the window. Through the lattice. I'm here. Hey, come on. Come away with me. Oh. Come away with me. Come on, out of the shadows. Let me see you. Let me talk to you. I want to hear your voice. What a great and mighty God. What a great and mighty God. He's on your team. He loves you. Let's all stand together. Let's all clap our hands. Let's all make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let's lift up holy hands and let's praise him with a shout right now. Can we praise him with a shout? Thank you for the words that we've heard. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for helping us drive out the creeping things and the little foxes. Thank you for refreshing us. Thank you for renewing us. Help us to move from this place and to go farther and deeper than we've ever gone before. In Jesus' name, we seal it. Satan, we call you out. We're taking authority over you. We're not going to let you back in this house. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out. We put a hedge about every brother. Now, with that same loud voice, put your hand on your brother's shoulder and intercede for him. Intercede from him in the name of Jesus. I put a hedge about my brother. I put a wall around my brother in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for protecting my brother. Thank you for strengthening my brother. Thank you for building my brother up. Thank you for helping him walk in the ways of God. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's pray in tongues like that. Warfare tongues. Hukudiyambo. Hukutan namahai. Huriti mi shatai. Oh, come on, pray like a man right now. Hukututa mahiki satai. Huto mohushai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.